This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How the boundary method helps you stay emotionally controlled when setting limits under pressure. A structured 8-step system for holding firm without losing your composure. In short, staying emotionally controlled when setting limits is not about being cold. It is about being prepared. Without a clear structure, pressure strips away your composure before you have said a word. The boundary method gives you 8 specific steps to follow, not a vague intention to stay calm. Each step addresses a different point where emotion typically overtakes reason. With practice, the structure becomes instinct, and you hold firm without the cost of a blow-up. Definition: the boundary method emotional control framework is an 8-step system for setting firm limits under pressure while maintaining composure. It prepares you before the conversation, guides your language during it, and helps you stay consistent after it, so emotion does not erode what you have said. I have watched more people lose ground in a single conversation than in all the months of conflict leading up to it. They knew what they wanted to say. They had thought it through for days. Then the moment arrived, the other person pushed back harder than expected, and everything prepared dissolved into either silence or an outburst. Neither result was what they intended. Both felt like defeat. The problem was never their position. It was their preparation for the emotional reality of holding that position under pressure. Good intentions do not keep you steady when someone is upset, dismissive, or simply refusing to hear you. Structure does. In Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the boundary method as a deliberate, step-by-step approach to staying emotionally controlled while setting limits, specifically in relationships where the stakes are high and the pressure is real. The boundary method emotional framework appears in Chapter 12 of Say It Right Every Time, and I'm going to teach it to you fully here. What the boundary method is designed to solve. Most limit-setting conversations fail for one reason: the person setting the limit is not prepared for the emotional resistance they will face. They prepare the words, but not the internal state needed to deliver those words under fire. When someone cries, argues, or goes cold, the untrained response is either to retreat or to escalate. Both destroy the limit you were trying to set. The boundary method is designed for exactly this gap. It does not assume the other person will be cooperative. It prepares you for the full range of reactions so that no response, however charged, throws you off your position. Each letter of the acronym addresses a specific emotional pressure point. Before I walk through the 8 steps, one thing must be clear. As I write and Say It Right Every Time, when you set clear boundaries, you're not pushing people away, you're teaching them how to love you and respect you. That frame changes everything. You are not attacking, you are offering clarity. Hold that thought as you work through each step. The boundary method, all 8 steps. Be clear about what you need. The first step is internal. Before you say a single word to anyone else, you must be able to state your limit in one sentence without hedging, apologizing, or qualifying it. Number 1. Write it down in plain language. I need you to stop commenting on my decisions at family gatherings. Number 2. Read it aloud. If it sounds apologetic, write it until it sounds neutral and firm. Number 3. Strip out the reasons. The reason comes later. The need comes first. This step matters for emotional control because vague needs produce vague delivery. When you are not sure what you are asking for, pressure makes you even less sure. Clarity is the first form of composure. When to use it? Every time. This is never optional. When not to use it? There is no situation where skipping this step helps you. Eamon's note. I spent years overloading my opening sentences with explanations before I had even stated what I needed. The other person was already reacting to my qualifiers before I got to the point. State the need first. Earn the right to explain it by being clear about what it is. Own your need without apology. Owning your need means presenting it as a legitimate requirement, not a personal failing or an imposition. Number 1. Use first-person language. I need rather than you always, or it would be better if. Number 2. Say it without a rising inflection that turns a statement into a question. Number 3. Resist the urge to add I'm sorry before stating what you need. Emotional control collapses most often here, because most people feel guilty for having needs. That guilt becomes a physical signal: softer voice, averted eyes, trailing sentences. The other person reads those signals and pushes back harder. Owning your need is not arrogance. It is the precondition for being heard. when to use it. Particularly important when you have a history of backing down with this person, when not to use it. If the relationship is genuinely mutual and the other person is already receptive, a slightly softer tone is fine. The substance must still be firm. Eamon's note. This step is where most people betray themselves before the conversation even gets going. Practice stating your need in a mirror with no apology. It feels unnatural at first. That discomfort is the old habit leaving. Ear. Understand their perspective first. This step surprises people, but it is essential for emotional control. Before you deliver a consequence or make a demand, you acknowledge what the situation looks like from the other side. Number 1. Name what you imagine they feel or believe. I know this feels sudden to you. Number 2. Do not agree with their position. Simply show that you have considered it. Number 3. Keep this brief. 1 or 2 sentences. This is not a negotiation. It is a signal that you are not attacking. When people feel unheard, they escalate. That escalation triggers your own stress response, and suddenly you are both reactive. Acknowledging their perspective preempts that cycle. You stay regulated because they feel seen enough to listen. This connects directly to what I see happening when amygdala hijack takes hold in high-pressure team moments. The moment someone feels attacked, rational listening stops. When to use it? Always, but especially when the other person has strong feelings about the topic. When not to use it? Do not spend so long here that it dilutes your position. One moment of acknowledgement, then move forward. Eamon's note. This is not weakness. I have seen the most direct people I know use this step and watched it halve the resistance they faced. Understanding is not agreement. It is strategy. N. Navigate the reaction without absorbing it. This is the step where emotional control is tested most severely. When someone reacts with anger, hurt, or silence, your body responds before your brain does. Your heart rate rises. Your voice tightens. You want to fix their discomfort immediately, which usually means taking back what you said. Number 1. Let the reaction happen without immediately responding. Number 2. Use the 3-second pause, a technique I outline in Say It Right Every Time. Breathe in for 3 seconds before you speak again. Number 3. Acknowledge the reaction without reversing your position. I hear that this is difficult. Number 4. Repeat your core statement calmly if necessary. Navigating a reaction is not the same as dismissing it. You are not pretending they are not upset. You are choosing not to let their state become your state. That choice is the heart of emotional control. You can de-escalate team conflict without destroying what matters by using exactly this principle. Regulate yourself first, and the conversation has somewhere to go. When to use it? The moment the other person's emotion rises above conversational level. When not to use it? If someone is in genuine distress, pause the conversation entirely rather than push through. Eamon's note. A boundary without a consequence is just a suggestion. I wrote that, and I believe it. But before you can deliver a consequence clearly, you have to get through the reaction without losing yourself in it. This step is the one that separates a real limit from a good intention. D. Decide the consequence and state it plainly. A limit with no consequence behind it is a request. This step requires you to decide, in advance, what you will do if the limit is not respected, and then say it clearly. Number 1. Decide the consequence before the conversation. Write it down. Number 2. State it as a fact, not a threat. If this continues, I will need to leave the gathering early. Number 3. Keep it proportionate and realistic. Do not state consequences you are not prepared to follow through on. Emotional control depends entirely on this step being done in advance. If you have not decided the consequence before you sit down to talk, you will either blurt out something extreme under pressure or you will say nothing and lose the conversation. Deciding in advance means your nervous system does not have to make that decision in real time. When to use it? In any situation where the limit has been crossed before, or where you genuinely expect it to be tested. When not to use it? For first time, low stakes conversations with cooperative people. Lead with the need. Introduce consequences if the pattern continues. Eamon's note. This is the hardest step to prepare, because people do not want to think about what they will actually do. But that discomfort in preparation is far smaller than the chaos of improvising a consequence while someone is upset in front of you. A. Affirm the relationship while holding the limit. This step protects something important, the distinction between the limit and the relationship. Holding firm does not mean you do not care about the person. Number 1. After stating the limit and the consequence, add one sentence that names what you value about the relationship. Number 2. Make it specific, not generic. I say this because I want us to keep working well together, not just I care about you. Number 3. Deliver this in the same calm tone as everything else. It must not sound like a retreat. When people confuse a limit with a rejection, their emotional response intensifies. Affirming the relationship short-circuits that confusion. It also keeps you regulated, because you're reminding yourself why this conversation is worth having. If you've ever watched signs that conflict is fracturing team dynamics in real time, you know how quickly a conversation becomes about survival rather than resolution the moment someone feels personally attacked. When to use it. Any conversation where the relationship has genuine ongoing value. When not to use it. In situations where the relationship is already over, or where the other person is not operating in good faith. Eamon's note. This step saved more of my working relationships than any other single habit I built. People can accept a firm no far more easily when they do not feel discarded. R. Reinforce consistently over time. Setting a limit once is not the same as holding a limit. This step acknowledges that emotional control is a practice, not a single event. Number 1. Every time the limit is tested again, restate it with the same calm tone and language. Number 2. Follow through on any consequence you stated. Every time, without exception. Number 3. Do not reward a return to the old pattern with warmth that signals the limit has been lifted. Consistency is the proof that the limit is real. It is also the hardest part emotionally, because over time, the repetition feels exhausting. You begin to wonder whether it is worth the effort. That is precisely when most limits collapse. Understand that the other person's testing is not necessarily malicious. It is often a genuine check to see whether the new pattern holds. Your job is to confirm that it does. When to use it. Every subsequent interaction with a pattern reappears. When not to use it. Do not turn every conversation into a limit-setting conversation. Reinforce only when the pattern shows itself, not preemptively. Eamon's note. I have needed to restate the same limit to the same person 5 or 6 times before they fully believed I meant it. The emotional cost of those repetitions is real, but the cost of retreating on the 3rd attempt is higher. Why? Yield to solutions, not to pressure. The final step draws a critical distinction that most people never consciously make the difference between yielding to find a solution and yielding to end the discomfort. Number 1. Stay genuinely open to a new arrangement that meets both your need and theirs. Number 2. Ask, is there another way this could work that respects what I have told you I need? Number 3. If no solution is offered, return to your stated position. The door to solutions is open. The limit itself is not negotiable. Emotional control does not mean rigidity. It means knowing the difference between a genuine compromise and a capitulation driven by your own discomfort. When the other person offers a real adjustment, accept it and acknowledge it directly. When they offer pressure disguised as a solution, you hold your ground with the same calm you've maintained throughout. When to use it. Anytime there's a genuine possibility of a new arrangement that serves both people. When not to use it. Do not use this step as a way to exit the discomfort of holding firm. If the solution they propose simply removes your limit, it is not a solution. Eamon's note. A family conversation is not a battle to be won. It's a problem to be solved. I wrote that in chapter 12 of Say It Right Every Time, and it applies equally to every high-stakes relationship. Yielding to a real solution is strength. Yielding to pressure is not. Choosing when this method is the right tool. The boundary method is not the only structure available for navigating conflict and holding your emotional ground. Here is a plain guide to when it fits best and when another approach serves you better. Situation best method. Repeated pattern with high emotional stakes boundary method. Single unresolved conflict between two people deal method. Setting limits with demanding colleagues boundary setting approach for colleagues. Conversation has already gone badly wrong recover method. First time, low stakes request direct, informal ask, no framework needed. The boundary method earns its complexity when a pattern is established, when emotional resistance is expected to be strong, and when the relationship matters enough to protect while still holding firm. If you are dealing with a first conversation on a new topic with someone who is generally cooperative, a simpler, direct approach works fine. Save the full method for the situations where your composure has historically collapsed. Understanding why synergy breaks down during high-pressure projects often reveals the same root cause people lack a structure to hold onto when emotions spike. The boundary method gives you that structure for the moments that matter most. where emotional control breaks down in practice. Even with a solid method, there are predictable places where people lose their composure. Knowing them in advance keeps you honest. The mistake: skipping step B and starting with the explanation. Why it happens: you feel you owe the other person a full justification before you state your need. What to do instead? State the need first. Earn the right to explain it by being clear about what it is. The mistake: confusing step U with agreement. Why it happens: acknowledging their perspective feels like weakening your position. What to do instead? Use exact language: I understand this feels difficult for you. Then return directly to your position. The mistake: announcing consequences in step D that you are not prepared to enforce. Why it happens: the moment feels serious and you want to signal wait. What to do instead? Only state what you will genuinely do. A consequence you abandon destroys your credibility faster than having none at all. The mistake: using step Y as an escape hatch when the discomfort peaks. Why it happens: yielding to solution sounds like permission to soften. What to do instead? Ask the solution's question genuinely and only accept an answer that actually respects your stated need. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building fluency through deliberate practice. In Chapter 12 of Say It Right Every Time, I outline a 6-day progression that builds communication skills from low-stakes conversations up through the most demanding ones. The boundary method fits squarely in the later phase of that plan because it requires emotional regulation skills that need to be built first. A practical path to fluency looks like this. Start by practicing steps B and O in writing before any difficult conversation, even ones that do not need the full method. Write your need in one sentence without apology. Do that every day for a week. In the second week, at step U before any conversation where you expect resistance, write one sentence that acknowledges the other person's likely perspective. In the third and fourth week, use the 3-second pause from step N in real conversations, any conversation where you feel your composure start to slip. By the time you need the full method in a genuine high-stakes situation, the individual components will already feel familiar. You are not learning 8 new things under pressure. You are drawing on habits you have already built in smaller moments. Transformation is not linear, and this much I know for certain: the people who build the skill fastest are not the ones who practice hardest for a week. They are the ones who practice consistently for 60 days. Small, repeated use beats occasional intensity every time. The ground you are standing on. The boundary method works because it gives your mind a track to follow precisely when pressure is highest. Without that track, emotion takes over and your position collapses, not because you were wrong, but because you were unprepared. 8 steps sounds like a lot to manage in a charged conversation. In practice, once you've worked through the method 2 or 3 times, the steps stop feeling like a checklist and start feeling like ground beneath your feet. Here's the truth of it: most people do not lose their composure because they lack the courage to hold firm. They lose it because they have no structure to hold on to. Give yourself that structure. Prepare step D before you walk into the room. Use the 3-second pause from step N when the reaction comes. Affirm the relationship in step S so you remember why this matters. Apply the boundary method emotional control system in full, and you will find that staying calm is not a personality trait you either have or do not. It is a skill you build, one conversation at a time. Frequently asked questions. What is the boundary method emotional control system? The boundary method is an 8-step framework for staying emotionally controlled while setting firm limits under pressure. It gives you structure before, during, and after the conversation so reactive emotion does not override clear, direct communication. How do you stay emotionally controlled when setting limits with someone difficult? Prepare your position before the conversation, name your need clearly, and anticipate their reaction without absorbing it. The boundary method builds your emotional control in advance so you are not improvising in the moment when pressure is highest. Why do people lose emotional control when setting boundaries? Most people walk into a limit-setting conversation without a clear structure. When the other person pushes back, there is nothing to hold on to. Emotion fills the gap. A reliable framework prevents that by giving your mind a track to follow instead of reacting. When should you use the boundary method? Use it when a relationship involves repeated crossings of a limit you've not stated clearly, when you expect strong emotional resistance, or when previous attempts to hold firm have broken down. It is not needed for simple one-off requests between cooperative people. What is the difference between a boundary and a consequence in this method? A limit tells the other person what you need. A consequence tells them what you will do if that need is not respected. Without a consequence, a limit is simply a request. The boundary method treats both as essential to staying emotionally controlled and credible. How long does it take to build fluency with the boundary method? Most people feel noticeably more grounded after 3 to 5 deliberate uses in real conversations. The 6-a-day practice plan and Say It Right Every Time outlines a progressive approach that builds the skill from low-stakes situations up to high-pressure conversations over time. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.